Auckland business leaders want the government to let wealthy international students back into the country via quarantine facilities run by universities. Speaking at a crisis summit today, Mayor Phil Goff, Sir John Key and Rob Fyfe all signalled the need to expand quarantine facilities to make the most of New Zealand's COVID-free status, while also letting in the right people to keep New Zealand's economy afloat. Our cameraman Nick Munro and reporter Nita Blake-Pearson were at the summit.
As 200 people packed into this Auckland hotel with no face masks or social distancing, you'd be forgiven for thinking COVID-19 was a thing of the past. But not quite.
We have a financial crisis that's coming, not a health crisis.
Former Prime Minister Sir John Key warning a significant contraction of the economy is coming, with the country's economic hub at the sharp end.
We are the engine room of growth. So if Auckland slows down, the rest of the country slows down.
Mayor Phil Goff says some forecasts estimate 50,000 Aucklanders will be out of work by the end of the year. And here's why.
53% of the $7.8 billion of tourist spend in our city coming from international visitors. We're the centre of international education in New Zealand, and the international students are worth $2.8 billion to our local economy, and that will be heavily impacted as the flow of new students dries up. Many of our big infrastructure projects, the City Rail Link and the Central Interceptor, rely on the availability of highly skilled international workers. If they were not to be able to come here, those projects would grind to a halt.
But in crisis, there's opportunity. Mr Goff suggesting softening border restrictions is where that opportunity lies.
Core workers can be given entry, subject to strict quarantine requirements, organised and paid for by the companies employing them rather than the taxpayer. We at Council have submitted to government a proposal to pilot the screening of high-value international students at Auckland University who can be quarantined in student hostels with a 24/7 monitoring regime in place, again on a user-pays basis.
That message echoed by Sir John Key.
We can turn that tap back on quite successfully. I'm not arguing at all that we should challenge that we don't want community transmission. We clearly don't. But in the same way that we welcome New Zealanders who are returning from overseas and appropriately put them in quarantine and test them for 14 days, the universities and maybe the schools, but certainly the universities, have the capacity to do that. A big financial onus on the universities for making sure they do the job properly. I think you might even, maybe they even have to quarantine a little bit longer. The testing regime might be a little bit more strict. There'd obviously be certification from central government and the appropriate authorities at health. But they do have big facilities actually to house students in quarantine. And why wouldn't you start at least with the trial? Start with a couple of hundred students and go from there as you build your confidence levels.
Former Air New Zealand boss Rob Fyfe, who was part of the government's COVID-19 response team, supportive in principle.
I would hope that we're able to start seeing a significant expansion of our quarantine capacity early in the new year. I think this side of Christmas there's some things we can do, but it's a little bit more limited. But we should do the planning now. And I think the critical issue is we can't wait till after the election or wait till the new year to start planning these things. It takes time, as you've identified. So we've got 3 or 6 months while everyone's out there electioneering that we could be building and planning for this infrastructure in the interim.
But he says international students won't necessarily be the first cab off the rank.
I've been bombarded with requests from people wanting to understand how they can get into the country. I think international students are a very valuable resource. I think there's some critical skills we need in the construction sector to support some of the infrastructure spend that we really need to be doing. There's other businesses that have essential technical workers that need to come in. So I think it'd be great to do a scan across all the demands that are out there and start prioritising, figuring out the scale of the demand, figure out what we need to build, figure out who we prioritise in first. And government can do that if there's a mandate to say we want to solve this problem.
Last month, the government threw the international education sector a $51 million lifeline, warning providers that overseas students aren't likely to return before the end of the year. I tāmaki makaurau, mō te hōtaka o te ahi ahi nei, ko Nita Blake-Pearson, aho.